Hello and good evening, world. We are here with our first launching of Into the Blue Zone. I'm with one of my best friends and special first inaugural guest, Justin, the big dick Crompton. Jay Cromp, how are we doing tonight?
Feeling good, feeling great. Saturday night here, hanging out with Sky, man. Feeling good, man. Really living life. How are things on your end?
They're great. We're launching a podcast. Life is so good. So we got little Lola Bean. If you don't know Jay, Jay is a party animal turned daddy. And his little Lola Bean, Lola Crompton, is napping in the guest room. And unfortunately, I haven't gotten to see her in my visit over. So first question to J-Man, how has transitioning from party animal to
father,
loving husband, and now father in less than a year and a half?
It's a great question, Sky. It's a great question. You got to embrace the life, right? You know, love being single. You know, can't deny that. Love being wild, going out, doing whatever I wanted to, just caring about myself. But there are some benefits to marriage, right? Two is better than one is how I look at it. And you got to have that mentality when you're with somebody. I always wanted a family. I wanted, you know, kids of my own. So Lola is a blessing that we're able to even have that, right? So it's really me and happy in a marriage, a happy wife, happy life, I think is also a true fact and statement. And going through my second year. So I'm still learning and growing. And that's all that really matters right now. So living life, man.
Yeah, I'm stoked for you and Chantal and the healthy baby. It must be such a relief to just have a healthy baby.
Healthy baby is one of the biggest blessings in the world, man. You know, there could be so many things that can go wrong with it. To have no issues at all in the first year of having a baby is, you know, big blessings.
Yeah, I see you and my good friend Wiley, and you both have had kids, and I've seen some of my closer peers have kids now. And it's really kind of gotten my interest sparked with, do I want to raise a kid and coaching kids all the time, coaching volleyball? I'm starting to kind of get the bug, like, ooh, it would be cool to raise a seed of my own.
Hey. You have your own kids, though. You're right. You got how many? 20, 30 of them, I'm sure you're trying to coach up. But having your own is definitely a different thing, right? It's like a byproduct of who you are, right? And I think that's super cool.
Yeah, having control over what they do 24/7 is a lot more than coaching a kid 4 hours.
A couple hours a day. Yeah, absolutely. But more importantly, right, let's jump into Skylar Hammond's life here, right? Big things. You know, one thing that we always bonded on is growing and developing and just learning and just really embracing life and just seizing the opportunity to be better, right? And I think that you have the right head on your shoulders to do that, Skylar. So talk to me a little bit about some big things here for everything you got going on.
Yeah, so taking the plunge, spending some money on myself and my career endeavors, and just growing up in Philadelphia, listening to sports talk shows and ignorant fans, stupid announcers, and obviously some intelligent people with sports talk. I just got enamored with talking on the radio, did a little sports talk show with my buddy Dom in college. And then just always wanted to be more of the Howard Stern-like as opposed to someone more on Instagram. I think talk show's amazing, and Howard Stern, I'm a little too young, being 30, to really appreciate Howard Stern. I know he was a rebel and a great entertainer. So I think bringing a little bit of the Howard Stern persona with some more educational nutrition background and spreading the good word with love and inspiring others to be them best selves. Meanwhile, having that fun, kind of laid back, laissez-faire, like you only live once attitude. It's a good balance, and it's exciting to finally launch the podcast and take action.
Yeah.
And not just think about doing things, really taking action. And, you know, it takes time to get there. You can't just spend thousands of dollars if you don't have them.
Yeah.
So now working my ass off for 8-9 years, building a little cushion financially, it's time to invest in myself with career goals. And what a run we had hanging with the boys and the Jemez crew.
We had some good years. We had some great years, right? We can always look back and reflect, you know, and cherish those moments. And life goes on, people move, right? Life has changed, but you know, we built a brotherhood, and I feel like that's will always be there forever, right? Even if we don't see each other every day, you know. So we've been through ups, we've been through downs, we've laughed, no homo, we've cried, you know what I mean? We've gone to Vegas, we've traveled, we're in our backyard throwing cornhole. We did it all, right? As you know, like, it was great. It's great life.
We lived college for 6 more years after college, and from what I'm understanding, we did it right. And now it's time to grow up a little bit. And it's fun to grow up. And it's also sad to know that college is over and your buddies that you spent your adult starting life postgraduate college time frame are gone and everyone's moved on. And it's great that we're still here in San Diego representing. And it's even cooler that we're now broadcasting to the world about, you know, how to be a better person, how to be a good man, and most importantly, just how to live life. And
yeah,
everyone's got their own philosophy on how to live. And this isn't me telling people how to live. It's just kind of sharing some thoughts and some insights on what was passed down to me. It's not like
sharing the wealth.
It's not like I created the playbook.
Yep.
And those who told me, whether it's my dad or my mom, how to do things, you know, they were taught by others. And you can't recreate the wheel. We can never go back to Vegas and have the times we had. We can pass down knowledge and learn from those times and make them better with different circumstances. So, yeah, fun times here starting the podcast in your living room.
North Park, San Diego. What day is it? I don't even know what day. Saturday night, March 13th.
Had a volleyball tournament this morning.
2021.
We're a year into the coronavirus pandemic.
1 year.
Let's just do a little coronavirus talk for a second. I think it's so disappointing how marketing, advertising, anything related to public information has neglected the uttermost importance in regards to running, working out, and most importantly, eating healthy. Have you seen a commercial, an advertisement related to eating healthier negates the possibility of getting coronavirus?
You know, to be honest, I haven't seen any, you know. It's kind of sad that the media and whatever they see on TV, it's the news. I call it doom, right? Like, it's just negative stuff, shootings, this and that, right? They're just pumping the media with just negative thoughts. And you really got to talk about being in a pandemic, right? People are losing their minds, right? They're at home, they're sold out. It's insane, right? So you really got to have your community and you got to really focus on positive things. And I think that eating and really taking care of your own internal mind starts with you, right? Like, you are the root of your own happiness. And then once you can find that true happiness within you, you know, however that may be, and then, you know, that's a ripple effect from then on out and everybody around you.
Yeah, I just want to throw in the word controllables. And what does controllables mean to you in regards to starting with you? For me, it's there's a lot within your control and there's a lot outside your control. So for you, what is, when I say controllables, mean in relationship to coping with coronavirus, in addition to being a new
father? Yeah. For me, the controllables, right, is like I just said before, right, is just really mentally making sure that I am at my best and I'm happy with who I am as a person, so that will relate to me being a good father, right? And then also being a great husband as well too, to Chantal, right? So it's a lot of things that I can control starts with me and my mindset. And when I have that right mindset and when I can really enjoy life and I can still get out, and like we talked about, we love to surf, we love to play golf, we love to do so many different activities that are out there. I feel like having those times as well too just makes you feel good every day. And then as you eat healthy, you know, those are your controllables, right? There's a lot of uncontrollables, and that's what the government's doing. That's what they're able to do. We're releasing a stimulus check here. They approved $1.9 trillion, right? Well, we can go into the economy and things like that. It's a whole nother story. But those are your uncontrollables, right? The uncontrollables is what is being locked down, what you're, where you're able to go, international traveling, you name it, right? Like, I love to travel. I wasn't able to over the course of this past year internationally. So now we were doing in the country small trips, right? Like we talked about, right? Just maybe going up to LA or going somewhere east or just seeing new places and doing things, because that's something that we could control to keep our happiness. What about for you? What are your controllables?
So after reading the book Tool of Titans by Tim Ferriss, I really kind of grasped how important your day-to-day routine is. And for me, coaching volleyball in the afternoons, I have a lot of spare time in the morning, and it's almost like mini adventures. And I try not to do the same thing every day while maintaining some type of, you know, philosophy, some methodical approach to the morning. So it's, you know, good morning routine, good night routine, definitely exercising, definitely eating healthy. You know, the exercise, eating healthy is just so important to everyone's life that it's sad how many people are neglecting exercise and eating healthy. And it starts up top with their leadership, whether it's our president, the head of the food programs, the FDA, the CDC,
yep,
whoever's in charge. They need to do a better job advocating eating healthy and exercising. We all know to do it. There's just not much support from our leadership in reminding us how good that makes us feel.
Yeah.
So, you know, mixing in the golf, the surf, the working out, the running, the cycling, the pickleball, all the activities, mixing that up. So always being active, always eating healthy. And then, you know, trying to make the most of every situation. So when things aren't going well, what can you do to take action to make things turn around? And good example for us tonight, you know, you invited me down here. I had to get up at 5:30 a.m. to go to a volleyball tournament, and I could have easily just stayed up home, done my laundry, folded my laundry, and
crashed. Yeah.
And procrastinated on this podcast one more day. And instead I got a little motivated and came down, brought some beers, and, you know, we'll have some fun later. And now we're getting this thing going. And the hardest part,
it's getting it going, turning the wheel, right? And it's,
for those who are listening, if you're in a rut, if you're doing great, it just is like discipline if you're doing great. And if you're a rut, take action with the controllables and morning routine, what you're eating, you know, working out. If you don't have time to work out, that's bullshit. You got to make time. If you can't afford eating healthy, that's bullshit. You got to find ways to eat healthy. You don't have to buy organic. You can buy in bulk.
Yeah.
You don't have to eat out to the nicest restaurants. You can still eat out. And, you know, outside of that, just, I'm a big fan of building relationships, and then not just with intimate loved ones, you know, your buddies, your parents, old and new friends, building relationships, because that's kind of all we got.
Yeah.
You know, we got each other. And if you want to be a hermit and be isolated and be introverted, that's fine. You still probably have a couple of relationships, and nurturing those relationships will give you a lot of satisfaction. So controllables are huge. If you're not taking action with the controllables, you're probably not your best version.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're okay with that, I'm okay with that, because that's not, you know, I'm not you. So, and I don't mean you particularly, I mean the listener. Yeah,
everybody.
And yeah, I think controllables, I preach that in coaching. And, you know, we have control over a lot, like I said, and we also don't have control over a lot.
Sure.
We don't control the weather. It doesn't mean you can't go out and go for a walk if it's not so nice out.
Yeah.
And if you don't like where you're living, you can move. And you can make radical changes. Change is inevitable. Let's just get right into it. How do you view change? For me, change kind of parlays into controllables. Like, change is inevitable. And, you know, you're the man who's suggesting Bitcoin. And for me, change in my financial portfolio is tough. And I think it's hard for a lot of older generations
to grasp,
because it's so
new technology.
Because it's so new.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think change is inevitable. How you approach change, do you embrace change? Do you fight change? So I think, you know, let's just jump right into cryptocurrency and change.
Let's, before we go on to like crypto and, you know, things like that with technology, we look at, you know, we're the millennials, right? We are in our upper 20s. We're in our 30s now. And our parents' generations were, you know, how I look at it with my parents specifically, I can only talk on for that, but, you know, they were taught a certain way and they got into their rhythms and that's just, they didn't change, right? They don't know how to change. And that's just that generation. There's nothing wrong with that, right? But this, I call this this new age that we're into, right? And I feel like technology is advancing, right? We're seeing AI, artificial intelligence is in everything nowadays, which is crazy, right? You look at your iPhones, you have Siri, right? You got your Amazon Echoes and Alexas and houses, right? That's just everything. There's so many new things out there now, and technology is always advancing. If you look 10 years ago past, right, let's say we go into the early 2000s, even to the 90s, look at the evolution of everything, where you can look in front of you, look at a TV, look at, you know, light fixtures. Everything is just advancing so much. So if you look at, you know, 10 years in the future, what do you see there, right? Going back to what Skylar was talking about with, you know, Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, that's been a huge boom over the past couple of years here. It's picking up a lot of traction. It's going more mainstream than it has been. And it's becoming this digital currency on really how to trade among others. You know, you invest your money into, we call it fiat, into this investment that appreciates, as we now see that the dollar that we're seeing now is deflating because they're printing, like we talked about, the stimulus checks. $5 trillion over the past year has been printed, which the value of the dollar has gone completely down, right? So a lot of your top 1%ers, I call them, right, are the wealthy people are looking for different avenues to put their money into an asset that's going to appreciate, because if they leave their money into a savings account, they're losing money, right? It's like 20% of the past year. And that wild sky, like, it's insane.
Goodbye, hard work money.
Yeah, like, just gone. Just like, goodbye. If you let it sit, it disappears unless you do something with it, right? So,
and if you
know,
think it's there and it's losing value, it's disappearing.
Don't right. Buy a house, right? Or, you know, buy some real estate, right? That's an asset, right? Or gold. Gold was back to that. Like, those older generations have their gold. And this new age that we're in with, you know, the baby boomers, or the millennials, and even was it Gen Z? What's the ones below us? I don't even know. But it's everything's digital now, right? Like, you play video games and you can put money into it and purchase, you know, anything you need to. It's just Bitcoin is evolving into, it's a new millennia, right? And I think the people that are embracing it, like you talked about with change, and are really learning it, right? Because it takes time. You spend a lot of time learning about what this is and grasping what it can and cannot do, and I think it's the future. What do you think?
I'm learning about it, and it's hard to be really bullish and super opinionated about it since I'm just scratching the surface. Mm-hmm. The more people I talk to, depending on their age and experience and tracking crypto, some people are very free in speaking about it and very aggressive on it and bullish, and others are skeptical and contrarian. Right now, I'm about it. I like change. I embrace change. I think taxes, controlled money, banks, that stuff's fading. And usually I'm against the grain. I like to do things a little differently than the norm. Right now, I'm starting to see a lot of successful people my age that I'm talking to in the last month or two in North County, San Diego, who seem to have a good financial basis. They're big on it, and they're saying it's not going anywhere. Now, for everyone listening, including myself, this is a gentle reminder that this could totally go to shit and you could lose all your money, you know, like that, with a snap of the finger.
Not financial advice, of course.
And I'm aware of that. At the same time, you could lose your life walking in traffic. You know, a lot of things could happen really quickly. It doesn't mean you got to be afraid of losing. And the fear of losing money will deter anyone from investing in anything.
Uh-huh.
including myself, this seems like something that's here to stay from what I've researched in the short bit, that the concept, the finite amount, that stuff, it all makes sense. And I'm a very common sense oriented person. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to make a lot of money off investment. You need to have some balls. You need to put some money down there. You need to study and you need to commit to researching and following something. And, you know, you've gotten me on it and a couple other guys have gotten me on it. And, you know, I only have $1,000 in it, so it's a good start.
Better than nothing, right?
Better than nothing.
I told people that it's with investments like this, you just mentioned a snap of a finger can absolutely go to zero, right? Like nobody knows that answer, but you know, no one got really wealthy with taking a safe route, right? Yeah. Like this is something that I call it high risk, high reward, right? Like it has the opportunity to go through the roof and keep going, we call it to the moon, right? But like then again, if you put a lot of money into it and something happens, or you know, the technology fails, or if it gets hacked, you know, who knows, whatever it may be, it can all go hit absolute rock bottom. But you know, they say it's riskier not to have any Bitcoin or any cryptocurrency on your portfolio than having it, right? So you definitely want to have allocate a small percentage. We call it dollar cost average. Yeah,
I got to ask you, who says that? Because people listening, we need to be a
little. They, sure.
Who's they?
So when I do my research, right? I mean, there's so many different avenues. And when my friends that got me into Bitcoin earlier gave me a couple big names that you can follow on social media, on Instagram, on Twitter. There's a big guy named Anthony Pompliano, right? There's a couple other guys out there that I follow who, you know, post podcasts like we're talking about now, right? Where they're talking to big people like your Kevin O'Leary's, right? Like other guys that are just so wealthy that they're looking for other ways to be, you know, to put their money into, and they're adapting it, right? And at first they were very skeptical, and now that they put their research into it, you now see that they are slowly converting their portfolio with some cryptocurrency in there. So it's really cool to see and follow where the money goes, right? That's, I want to see where the early money, who has the wealthy money, is going. And that just gives you a better direction on, you know, and a better understanding as you learn it. So that's what I mean by, and I'm just researching, like I said, on Twitter and following people, podcasts, you know, just doing what you can, right? And just learning like we talked about, and see what happens.
Good stuff. All right, we got a couple more questions here with Jay. We're going to try to stick to our 30-minute podcast format that I've thought about. So we're 23 minutes in. First off, how fun has it been talking into a microphone with this,
technology? I mean, this is badass. I don't think I've done this in a while. I like it, though, and I'm glad we're doing this, man. It's been a pleasure for us to get started and have me on your first podcast. It feels really good, man, so I appreciate it. Big up, Skyman.
Yeah, it does feel good. It's fun to talk into a mic, feeling a sense of importance and like more thought with your speech, as opposed to just bullshit and talking into a microphone or just shooting the shit with small talk. Now we're kind of like a little thought behind what we're saying.
So, you got to process.
Yeah. All right. So we're talking the three C's tonight. Mm-hmm. We're talking controllables. We touched on that. Change.
Crypto. Love it.
We're going to finish with one big question, because we talked a little about money and kind of being a better person. And that's what Into the Blue Zone is all about. We're about living healthy into your 90s and 100. And people who like life are going to listen to this podcast. People who want to aspire to a fulfilled life, whether it's 60 years old or 100 years old or 110. If you're listening, it's because you like life, or you know me and you want to support me, which is awesome. So the last question, and it's a juicy one, so maybe think a little bit before you respond, and a little pause would be fine. What does success look like to you? Do you have visions about it? And or what does being successful mean? Because I think that's such a
broad question.
Such a varied answer from each
person to person.
Mm-hmm. And elaborate as much as you want on it, or keep it as short. I have my own kind of thought and definition, and I'll let you.
Yeah, know. No, I don't need to pause. You know, the first thing that pops into my mind when it comes to being successful is, you know, failing's okay, right? Like, I failed so many times. I played sports all my life. But the one thing that gets me off the ground and keeps me going is seeing results, right? Seeing that I'm getting better. And that's in all aspects of life, right? Like, I'm in sales also as well, too. I run a small nonprofit with my wife. Being successful is being able to at least see what I'm doing is affecting other people in a very positive way. In the nonprofit, specifically for my life, we are helping out low-income high school students apply to college, right? Like, they are deserving to get to college, but they don't have the money to apply. They can't pay for college applications, AP exams, hundreds and hundreds of dollars coming from a low-income student, right?
Jay, before you rant,
go ahead.
Why don't we let everyone know what your nonprofit's called so that
I mean, this could be for another day, right? I mean,
we'll
but
just let them know the
big,
name
big picture, it's called Fine Print Funding.
And what's your mission?
Our mission is to help low-income high school students who are high-achieving, right? Who are doing what they are told, and they are, you know, putting in the efforts in high school, and they are getting high, you know, GPAs above 4.0, right, or whatever it may be. But when it comes to being a senior, and they're like, okay, well, now you can go to college. Where do you want to go? And they have their options. Then when it comes to putting in their applications, it now costs $200 for an application, $60, $100, depends where you apply. But these kids come from nothing, so they don't have the funds and the means to get there, right? So they hit this brick wall. So Fine Print Funding removes that equity gap, essentially, to allow these students who are deserving to get to the next level in college apply, and we provide the funds that it takes to get there. That's what it is in the big picture. So doing it for a couple years. But back to the success question, Sky. Like I mentioned, I'm also in a sales role as well, too. It's very results driven, right? Success to me is, now that I have a family as well, too, is making sure that my wife is happy in the marriage. She loves being a mother, that we're growing and we're learning and we're doing new things. And we're just making sure that anything and everything is attainable, right? And that may be anything for that matter, but I'll kind of kick it back to you, man, because I know you have a lot on your mind with success as well, too. And, you know, being around for a long time, even talk to me, what is success to you?
Yeah, I'll keep it brief here. And, you know, I think we could touch on it another time. And this could be a great question for all my guests. For me, success is doing what I want to do when I want to do it with who I want to do it with. And having that financial freedom, I think that's just such a big term. Having the ability and the means to do whatever it is I want to do whenever. Now, certain jobs might limit that scheduling. Going to Vegas, taking trips, being able to afford flights, being able to afford looking a certain way, being able to eat out without having to think about just the little things in life, you know, doing whatever it is whenever I want to do it. That is success. And, you know, maintaining that throughout a lifetime, I think is successful. And I think that's hard work. And life's not easy. And so far in our 30 and 31 years, it seems like we're both pretty damn successful. And it's great to talk about success. It's great to, you know, success breeds success. And sharing your positive stories with people is very powerful. And I'm starting to learn you have to open up with people and really share what's actually going on in your life, whether you just met someone or, you know, it's a close friend like you, and not just beating around the bush and talking small. And that stuff kind of manifests into bigger stuff. And if you keep working hard and you have the discipline over time, I'm learning from other people's podcasts, if you have right habits and you're doing the right things, you just got to stay patient, because life's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And, you know, the old adage, the tortoise and the hare. Last question, would you rather be the tortoise or the hare?
Well, you know, I like to run fast, so. But the tortoise always wins the race, slow and steady, right?
I started as the hare, and I am slowly loving the adaptation to the tortoise.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, if you asked me a couple years ago, I was 100% in everything, right? Out of the gates, you know what I mean?
And the fast lane.
Exactly. But then again, you know,
now I'm driving in the right lane,
cruising. But
awesome.
Yeah,
Jay, it's been real again. Justin Crompton. and Skylar Heyman on Into the Blue Zone. Jay, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Sky. Thanks for having me on.